Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
It is useless to resist us.
People's homes are being ruined by these monsters.
It is useless to resist us.
From here, there is no escape.
It is useless to resist us.
I sure would like to get out of here.
Keep your dark glasses on and stay where you are.
The revolution is on.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. It's good to have you with us again. We do appreciate each and every one of our listeners that tune in, and hope that you do visit our sponsors. Please support them. Tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call. And we appreciate our sponsors, their support. They've been loyal to us, and well, they're fine places that are sponsoring us. I like to visit every one of them every now and then.
Absolutely.
So with all that being said, we have a guest with us tonight, Mr. Jeff Lewis. And Jeff, I've known for a while from, originally you were from NC Fire, I believe is where I met you first time.
Well, the Fire Coalition, the Federal Immigration Reform
right.
Enforcement Coalition, and NC Fire was a spinoff.
All right. Now you have a new position. You are with We Do It Better.
Well, we do better.
We do better. Okay. We do better. And you are the executive director. Tell us what You Do Better is.
Well, it's in a nutshell, the we and We Do Better is we the people.
Right.
And I'm probably still the youngest one in the room. I won't say how young or not young, but when we were growing up, the general rule of thumb was when people had problems and issues that they needed help with, they first looked to family, and then they looked to their neighbors and their church and their community. That government was the last place you looked for help.
Hear, hear. Yep.
And
we've talked about that numerous times.
Yes.
On here.
And over the past half century or so, it has really transitioned the other way around to where we look to government first to solve every problem we have, and we look to ourselves and our neighbors and our families and our churches last, if we look to them at all.
All right. Well, we like I've mentioned, we've talked about that numerous times, and we're totally in agreement that it is backwards now, upside down and backwards, and look forward to talking about that. On your website, which is wedobetter.org, your mission statement says, to promote the freedom and well-being of all Americans by maximizing the quality and accessibility of public services and accountability in their provision. And we're glad to have Jeff with us tonight. And right now, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll come back. We've got some other topics we want to talk about, and then we'll get in and talk with Jeff on this topic.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call again. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. I have Bob and Mary Griswold with me.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
I have Diane Ruffino, and I'm pointing at him. I know y'all can't see me out there.
How you doing?
And we have Hal and Rainer James.
Hey.
Good evening. Or and, morning, whichever it happens to be when you're listening.
Right. We've already introduced Jeff Lewis. He's here with the We Do Better Foundation.
Is it nonprofit?
Nonprofit. Okay. So, first of all, we got a little housekeeping we want to do with some local issues here. Hal, what? You attend as the chair of our watchdog committee. You attend frequently the county commissioner's meetings. You attended one this past Monday night, I believe. And there was a very important topic that came up a meeting or two ago and is still very controversial. And that is about prayer, and also about how the commissioners have come up with some new guidelines on how the citizens can address the board. And
well, the next to the last meeting I went to, they did not have a prayer, and that did bother me. But this meeting, I was pleasantly surprised. They had a very appropriate prayer, and they also did the Pledge to the Allegiance. So the opening of the meeting, I was very happy with. So that wasn't a problem at that meeting this past Monday night.
Okay.
But what did concern me is their new rules. And their new rules are very restrictive as to what people can say.
Now, have these rules been adopted and published?
Yes, they have. There were three of us that spoke in opposition to those changes. And one of them was Ray Griffin, and I've forgotten the other gentleman's name. Let's see, his name was Johnny Clark. There were three of us, and all of us said basically the same thing, that these new rules are a huge infringement upon our First Amendment rights to speak. I mean, they say you can't. Well, as an example, Ray Griffin made a very good point. He said, I want to ask you, did you say I could not use the words Democrat or Muslim? Nobody would answer him, of course. He said, well, I can give you the answer. I did say that, and it's proof of it in the video, if you go back and look at the video.
So of a prior meeting, right?
Of a prior meeting.
Right.
And so it's very restrictive, the new rules. Now, the one change of it that was kind of for the better, though, they allow you 3 minutes for each one. Now, that's a reduction of a minute. Mm-hmm. But what they did was they said you could speak on any agenda item for 3 minutes, but you could also speak on any general item that you wanted to bring up for 3 minutes. They played an interesting little trick. That last one comes at the end of the meeting, so you have to sit there through the whole meeting. This one lasted till 10:30, from 7 till 10:30, and those of us who wanted to address those issues had to sit there and wait.
All right.
That even so, 6 minutes to talk at one meeting, you know, it's considerably more than they'd been giving us in the past.
Well, it's interesting to me. In the past, did they have any rules or guidelines you had to go by in the past?
Well, their guidelines were you could only petition for 4 minutes,
And that was about it, wasn't it?
That was about it.
They didn't control your speech of what you could or couldn't say.
There was one thing they had back then too, and I found it objectionable then, and I do now, and that was you could not be repetitive, not in one evening, nor in sequential meetings. Well, they tend to do the same sorts of things over and over and over again, like spending money on charities.
Right. Being repetitive doesn't seem to be a problem.
So it's all right for them, but it's not all right for we citizens, and that's not good.
Yeah. Okay. Let me read one paragraph out of those.
All right, go ahead.
Speakers must be courteous in their language and presentation, and it must abide by generally accepted standards of decorum. Speakers shall not make the same or repetitive comments. That's what you were just talking about. Then it goes on to say, whether during a particular comment period or over the course of multiple comment periods, speakers shall not attack or insult any person or group of people, and speakers shall not give belligerent or hostile comments during any comment period.
Well, it seems to me that our esteemed commissioners have become very lofty and forgotten who is in charge.
Right.
I thought we, the people, elected them, and they are to operate within our guidelines, and yet they're telling us what we can and cannot do or say. And
very well stated. That's the truth.
Diane?
Okay, so what you just read is the limitations on what can or cannot be done at your meetings.
Right.
So there is no, as you called it before, prior restraint on any words or.
No, these are all new restrictions.
Okay. So you can use, like you said before, you can use Democrat, you can use Muslim, right?
They say that those are offensive words and insulting to some people. So
now that was stated at a previous meeting. Yeah. Is it actually in the written guidelines?
The thing I read. No, the actual words are not in there.
Okay.
But what you mentioned was offensive to certain groups. Right. So all of a sudden, that's going to be a group.
Sure. And I think the point is they took this general statement and chastised a particular person for using particular words. Those were Democrat and Muslim.
Okay. So every word can be offensive to some person at some point.
Bingo.
Under the right conditions. So you were talking about, before the show, we were talking about this prior restraint, which is what you cannot say, words you cannot say because they are offensive. Another term for prior restraint is prior censorship, meaning they're telling you ahead of time you cannot use this words, hence telling you ahead of time we're censoring these words, this type of thought. And I did a quick look on this, and Supreme Court has said about prior restraint in meetings like this, in political meetings, county commissions, legislature, even in newspapers, you cannot impose prior restraints. It's an absolute violation of First Amendment, except when it touches on matters of national security.
Right.
Serious matters of national security.
That makes two lawyers that have made that same statement to me. One, a person emailed me, and then I called him on the telephone. It was a lawyer. He volunteered some information for me, and that's what I really based my petition. And here's what I petitioned. Told him who I am, as those new rules have always said you have to do that. Now, I told him what I wanted to talk about. The new rules concerning a citizen's petitions, especially those restrictions on what can be said by a petitioner. I've consulted with an attorney on the subject and have been told that these new rules impose a prior restraint which infringes on the speech before it is spoken. And that has repeatedly been identified by the Supreme Court as the most egregious of constitutional violations. I'm sure you're aware that those are not words of my choosing.
Right.
I just want to point out to you and put you on notice that I am seriously considering pursuing this issue in court. That's what I told him.
Well, good for you. And folks out there listening, if you're wondering what can we do about this outrageous attempt to squelch our voices, show up. Show up at the next meeting. If you're not working or have some other valid reason why you can't be there, fine. But if you can be there, please show up and join in the fight against this. Mary?
I want to piggyback on this with something that's going on in social media, because conservative speech is being squelched and shut down on Facebook and Twitter. Now, Alex Jones and Milo Yiannopoulos have been kicked off, and obviously they're not mainstream, what I would call mainstream conservatives. But the fact is they've been kicked off. And David Horowitz, who runs writes Front Page Magazine, is frequently kicked off of Twitter because of his statements about Islam. And we are in danger of having conservatives totally, even mainstream conservatives, kicked off of Facebook and Twitter. And we are so limited in places we can get our message out because the mainstream media does not want to hear from us or report what we're saying.
Yeah, thank
you. Right. That we need to look at this and yeah. we need to start fighting back. We've got an election coming up, a presidential election, and you know the House and a third of the Senate next year. We need to have vehicles to get our message out. And if we don't, we are going to be in deep trouble.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mary. First of all, I think President Trump has already give warning to them that he's looking at this very closely as infringing our rights. But there is a new platform for conservatives, not just for conservatives, but it's totally free speech. They don't censor. They don't, you know, do anything like Twitter and Facebook's doing, and it's called Parler. That's spelled P-A-R-L-E-R. It's like a Twitter.
P-A-R-L-E-R.
P-A-R-L-E-R.
It's French for to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, they pronounce it a little bit differently, but
it's
bon.
It's cowboy talk, too. They're going to parlay with these
things.
P-A-R-L-E-R.
Oh, okay.
And it's an app you can download on your smartphone. And use it just like Twitter. They don't censor. A lot of, I found out by it from Candace Owens, a lot of the mainstream conservatives are moving to that platform now because it's unrestricted. So just wanted to share that with everybody. Yes, Diane.
But when you're on a site like that that's for conservatives, you're really just talking to the choir.
No, it's not just for conservatives. But conservatives are adopting it because it's protecting free speech.
Okay.
Anybody's able to use it. I mean,
you know,
and some are. I mean,
so. I hope so, because I hate the thought, like as Mary was saying, that we can't feel free to speak our conservative minds on a platform like Facebook, where we have a greater chance of engaging with someone that doesn't think like that,
mm-hmm.
and that, because that's where we can actually reach out and educate and have a dialogue. And sometimes when you're just talking to the choir, that's all you're doing is talking to the choir,
yeah.
sharing your talking points. But when you actually can talk to someone and explain things to someone and point out where they're not getting it right, or maybe they have it right and, oh, I didn't realize that. You know, you learned something. That's the beauty of not always being around with someone that thinks exactly like you.
All right. And as you can see, it looks very much like Twitter. It operates
okay.
pretty much the same way. It's very easy to use, and you can get it on your Apple Store or your Android Store for your smartphone. I've been using it for a little while. It's growing rapidly. And naturally, the more people that start using it and sharing it, the faster it'll grow. But it is an alternative to Twitter. And you can still use both of them.
You know? So my smartphone is getting smarter.
Right. There's also another one that a platform that's being used by a lot of patriots or activists or conservatives or whatever you want to call them. But it started out, gamers use it. It's called Discord, D-I-S-C-O-R-D. And it's a platform where you can talk back and forth and create groups and all that. And they're very protective of your First Amendment rights also. All right, well, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors. Hal, thank you for sharing with us about the commissioner's meeting. And I hope people, you will consider coming out and having your voice heard. And, you know, Hal mentioned a couple of things they didn't want you to say. Go in there and say them. We're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
You're listening to CCTA Wake Up Call right here on The Talk Station, FM 107.1 WTKF Atlantic. CCTA Wake Up Call is a production of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. And you can join us here every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the best in conservative talk radio in eastern North Carolina. That's CCTA Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've been having some interesting conversations so far, and it's only going to get better, folks, so stay tuned. Diane.
Yes.
You had some interesting comments. I know you went to Raleigh. You were up there when the teachers were having their rally, their march, whatever they want to call it.
Day of action.
Day of action. Day of action. What kind of action? The kids weren't having a day of action because the teachers left school and left a lot of parents looking for babysitters and all kinds of stuff. So, anyway, reading this article that's in the County Compass, teachers abandoned the classrooms for Raleigh. You pointed out that the real crisis in education is substandard academic performance. Would you like to enlighten us on exactly what you meant by that?
Well, it just means that, as it's written here, only 56% of elementary and middle school students were proficient in math. And it actually gets worse every year. And just 57% are proficient in reading. Now, that's not a success story.
I'm starting to see a connection here. There may be a connection here. Only 57% were proficient in math.
56%.
56%.
And 57%. And
maybe it's because the teachers that are teaching them are not proficient because they can't calculate their own pay raises to realize that they've...
No. You're right. And then if you talk to people who teach at, say, ECU and Pitt Community College, they have to offer remedial classes to the students that come in because they are not up to speed in math or in English. So these classes are remedial. They don't get credit for it, but they have to go through them before they're even, they can even sit into a first year math or English class at college. Well, and I think this is, that's just not acceptable.
I find it interesting because I did see some pictures and video of the event. Mm-hmm. And there were teachers that were holding signs that said WTF. There were teachers that were holding signs that said F.
Yeah.
Whatever. Oh boy. Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very sad, but I didn't see any teachers holding any signs demanding pay for performance. I wonder,
no.
Because
no.
If they did, we'd have to reduce their pay, wouldn't we?
They were there because the union, the North Carolina, I guess, chapter of this teachers union set the agenda and is using the teachers en masse to go and promote their social agenda. And it is a social progressive agenda. They want higher pay, even though they had 6 pay increases under the Republican General Assembly. They want a greater compensation if they go for a master's degree. And the legislature had done the research and said, wait, it does nothing for your ability to teach in the classroom. The students are not benefited in any way by a master's in education. So they said they could do it as a performance, not just because you have a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. They want Medicaid expansion. Don't know why. They want more psychologists, social workers in the school system, and they wanted more benefits for retirees.
Right.
There were 5 things I think I wanted.
It was my understanding in the governor's budget that going back to paying them for getting degrees is going to be included in the budget.
Well, it is, I think, and a 7th pay increase is in the budget this year.
Yeah.
But we'll see if that passes.
Right. Okay. Now, you mentioned the unions. I couldn't help but notice that a lot of the pre-printed signs were probably provided by the union, mm-hmm. and all that. One of the big complaints the teachers have all the time is they don't have enough materials. I wonder if the money the union spends on demonstrating and materials
could go into the classroom. Isn't that what education's all about?
Yeah.
Is for the students. It's all about education.
All right. Well, thank you.
Let me say a word about that, if you don't mind.
All right.
The legislators fought back to some extent because they had posted all on the walls around the legislative building there the actual rates of teachers' pays and how much they've increased over the years.
Fact sheets and the truth.
Exactly.
And
everywhere in the legislative buildings, they put out fact sheets for the teachers and says, teacher pay facts, the truth about North Carolina's rising teacher salaries.
Right, but they didn't want to.
No, I don't think they even took, because I took a whole stack of them when I left at the end of the day, so I don't know why they didn't take it to share with fellow teachers.
Well, it's kind of like what's going on at the national level with the Mueller report and all, liberals wanting a fully redacted report, and they've been offered almost fully unredacted. Yeah, fully unredacted report. They've been offered almost totally unredacted. It's in a room. They can sign up and go there and read it, and none of them have.
No Republicans have. No Democrats have looked at it yet.
And I said liberals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks, Diane, for that report. And Hal, you attended a school board meeting, right?
No, this was a presentation. Megan Doyle, the superintendent of public schools, at the same Board of Commissioners meeting.
What
she was basically doing was presenting her budget for the coming year.
All right. Tell us about that presentation.
Well, the presentation started off with some statistics about how the number of students is shrinking throughout the county.
All right.
And she made the comment that the several reasons for it, you know, the some of them displaced by the hurricane, some of them are just choosing to go to different types of school systems and different things like that. But the point that she was making was when the student doesn't come to their school, the money also doesn't come to their school, and so their budget is going to be reduced. And they were also talking about the size of the schools were going to have to be reduced. The schools were getting smaller. Well, you know, that didn't seem so terrible to me. I'm not sure what the problem was there.
Well, actually, it seems to me like parents are voting where their children go to school based on results. And 56 and 57% proficiency would not encourage attendance.
Right.
Homeschooling is up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Homeschooling is rapidly growing. And so that's part of the reason there.
Right.
And it's always about the money, not about the teaching, education, or, you know, the students so much.
That reminds me, the young woman who's going to get our first ever Hillsdale scholarship.
Yes.
was homeschooled from grades 7 through 12. Some of the best students out there are the homeschool students.
Right. We've witnessed that numerous times throughout the year. So we're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, and thank you for sticking around. We appreciate you listening to the show. Please, again, visit our sponsors and tell them you heard about them here. All right, we're getting to our guest speaker, Jeff Lewis. He's with We Do It Better.
We do better.
I'm going to get you a name change for tonight, sir. We Do Better.
What is it?
And website is wedobetter.org. And you've got a bill that has been introduced. I think you were working with some of the representatives. The House bill, let's see, what number is that?
894.
Yeah, there it is right there. House Bill 894. And the sponsors of that bill are Representatives Kidwell, Speciale, and Pittman.
Wow. That's impressive.
Well, and three major conservatives.
Also, Brody and Carter.
Brody and Carter. Tell us a little bit about the bill. I see it has something to do with taxpayer credits.
Yeah, well, let me back up a little bit before the bill. In pretty much every area of life, if you want to improve an outcome, you look at the method of producing it and choose the best one.
All right.
We just want to do that with public services, too. We Do Better is about doing the most good we can possibly do with the resources we direct at public services. The general knee-jerk reaction to human need issue in the public or in the political arena is throw more money at it.
All right.
And
turn to the government. As you, when we introduced you at the beginning of the show, you mentioned that the way it used to be, the community took care of those services, and then we've kind of over the years shifted that responsibility to the government.
Absolutely. I was telling you and your brilliant staff here that 50 years ago, we looked to ourselves, our family, our communities, our church first. We looked to the government last to solve problems that we needed additional help with. And over the past 50 plus years, it has flipped on its head that we look to government first for everything to solve every problem that we have.
And interesting enough, our founding fathers had that philosophy that government should be the last place to go because the founding documents were written to keep government small, not large. And now we've got Department of Education and Department for everything there is. And
and the government can't give you anything they haven't taken away from somebody else.
And once the government gets involved, it goes it just goes downhill. It doesn't work, you know.
Well, I also think that the government is never in the business of solving a problem because that would put somebody out of work.
All right. Oh, yeah, and you referred to these folks as my staff, which is totally wrong. That connotes that I would pay them, and there's no way I would do that. So, anyway, Jeff, tell us some more about
your volunteer brain trust.
I thought you were going to double our salaries pretty soon, darn.
Tell us some more about your organization.
Well, it doesn't bother me, but we've rebranded ourselves after spending a little over $1 million and probably about a year and a half in Washington looking at tax reform.
All right.
You're not going to get real lasting change at the top, real lasting change in the way people approach problems and problem solving is done at the bottom, from the bottom up.
In
not
the community,
the top down.
Locally.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
But when we went to various meetings, seminars, the people they call stakeholders were the politicians and the compliance industry or the special interest. There was nobody in the room speaking on what was in the best interest of the taxpayer. And we looked at a wide range of programs, and one of the ones that's the most egregious, we've all had something to eat today, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people in this country that go to bed hungry. A lot of kids go to bed hungry every night. And whether you're helping your neighbor's kids or your church has a soup kitchen or we use some of our tax dollars, the biggest funded program out there dealing with hunger is a temporary assistance for needy families. And it doesn't matter whether it's a federal dollar, a state dollar, or a local dollar. It goes into the food stamp program. How much would you guess out of a dollar actually makes it in the hands of a needy family?
I'd have to guess it'd be a small percentage, maybe into 20 to 30% of.
Rick's a realist. it's just under 25 cents on the dollar actually goes to the needy families.
And I also would be negligent if I didn't point out that there's a tremendous amount of fraud, waste, and abuse there.
Absolutely.
And that's another thing. When you get into the government, you don't typically have the oversight. And people are in there to get their slice of the pie, to gain votes, to stay in office for whatever reason, but there's no oversight of what's actually being done. Whereas when a community organization does that, if they see somebody abusing the system, they just don't serve them anymore. You know, they say, no, you've had what you're going to get.
But whether it's the volunteers at CCTA like Hal that goes to the county commissioner meetings, or I've seen all of you in Raleigh meeting with legislators at different times. Y'all are all doing that out of your own pockets.
Yes.
Right.
That's not.
Well, isn't that how it ought to be?
Yes, ma'am. I'm not complaining. I'm bragging on you.
Yeah.
You've taken the initiative to get engaged in your own government, in your governance. And that's what we need to do. Hal mentioned, and this was all fair, but he mentioned a particular budget item that was $250,000, that there was no breakdown of what the money was going to be spent for.
All right.
And it was a matching. They had to come up with that money to match a state grant? Was that
no,
right?
That was the amount of money the state was going to provide to the county for that program.
Okay.
And they just say every year that's how much money we get. They didn't account for how the money was spent at all.
Oh, and their other favorite thing is it's not going to cost the county anything.
Exactly. Yeah. That put the cherry on the top for them. That was all it took.
Right. Not going to cost the county anything. It is going to cost the taxpayers, but
absolutely.
Not the county. Right. Diane?
So just real quick, so Jeff, what you're saying is when the government gets involved to help, they hire people to do it and they have to pay, and people get salaries to do it. We do it at the local level, the state level. We volunteer, so it doesn't cost.
If you volunteer, but there's something that's troubling me about this, and that is the government doesn't need to be involved in it in the first place. I don't want to change how it's paid for. I want to back out of governments doing these things at all. It needs to go back to families, churches, philanthropic organizations. It's we're in the wrong place.
But yeah.
I think it's interesting. Now I'm speaking as the Northerner, by the way, right now. But
How you
in
doing?
New York City, the Salvation Army used to take care of so many homeless and so many various situations, and all of a sudden the government came in and said, well, because you have certain standards, biblical standards or whatever, you can't do it anymore. And all of a sudden, now it becomes a public burdened cost, whereas before it was a very, very efficient process.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute now. I thought feeding the needy and sheltering the homeless and all that was a biblical standard.
Of course,
certainly,
it is.
Certainly Christian, yeah.
Not but, if you bring the Bible into it.
Oh. Biblical and Bible, they don't go together.
Yeah, according to the government, if you bring the Bible into it, therefore it's no longer acceptable.
All right. Well, I want to get back to this bill that has been introduced because it tells us what Jeff's organization's about. The bill to be entitled An Act to Enact the Universal Charitable Credit. And that was something that y'all molded after Arizona. I believe they have a similar organization.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I spent the better part of the past 12, 13 years in Washington and in state legislatures across the country. And for every citizen activist, like Hal at the commissioner's meeting in Washington, on any given day, there's 100 paid lobbyists for every citizen that's there to speak to legislators.
Yeah, no doubt a bit.
And you get drowned out in the money and power and influence that comes along with big stakeholders in industries.
I've got a concern, and especially due to who the sponsors are of this bill, I hope you can give me a good answer.
I've waited. Hal's going to beat me up.
Not that. But, I think the intention is very good. I'm not going to argue that. But what bothers me is I've been to a lot of meetings in which 501c3 organizations are doing one of two things. They're asking the county to pick up some of their costs, or they're also looking for a grant, for somebody to write up a grant. Matching grants and things like that, which had to be go through the county, I think. But my point is, if they say purely beneficiaries of tax-deductible gifts, I got no problem with that. But if they also go out and try to get additional funding out of the counties or the state or other sources, grants of this type and the grants for that type, and a lot of these grants are paid for by the taxpayer, and that's my concern.
I agree. And the organizations that We Do Better considers are doing better are the ones that aren't getting the bulk of their funds through government grants and government programs.
Right.
In fact, a lot of in Arizona, a lot of the organizations that had been receiving a lot of government grant money found that they were more effective and could it untied their hands getting out of that process. Right.
Why don't you put an amendment in that bill like Hillsdale College has? They don't accept any funds from the state or federal government or any other form of government, and say if a 501c3 accepts federal dollars or state dollars, tax dollars, they're disqualified from getting the other contributions.
Well, let's before we get stuck in the mud here spinning our wheels, our listeners don't even know what the bill is yet, so let's go ahead and finish getting to the point here. The bill, An Act to Enact the Universal Charitable Credit. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts Section 1, Part 2 of Article 4 of Chapter 105 of the General Statutes, is amended by adding a new section to read, Universal Charitable Credit. A. Credit. A taxpayer who makes a cash contribution to a qualified charitable organization is allowed a credit against the tax imposed by this part equal to the amount of the cash donation. A qualified charitable organization is an organization incorporated in this state that I is exempt from federal income tax under Section 501c3 of the code, or II, which is 2, I guess, is a volunteer fire department or a volunteer rescue or emergency medical services squad that is exempt from federal income tax under Section 501c4 of the code. Section B, limitations. The credit allowed under this section may not exceed the lesser of the amount listed in the table contained in this subsection or the amount of tax imposed by this part for the taxable year reduced by the sum of all credits allowed except payments of tax made by or on behalf of the taxpayer. A taxpayer who claims a credit under this section based on a donation to a qualified charitable organization is not allowed to deduct a donation as a charitable contribution. And filing status, married filing jointly, credit amount is $200, head of household, $150, single, $100, and married filing separately is $100. Section 2, this act is effective for taxable years beginning on or after January 1st. So that's what the bill's all about, Mary.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
A qualified charitable organization is an organization incorporated in this state. Does that mean solely in this state?
Well, corporations are only incorporated in one location. They may have divisions and offices.
Okay, then I have another question. Two of the people that were providing major assistance after Hurricane Flo were Samaritan's Purse and Operation Blessing. My understanding is they would not be eligible for this. Is that true?
Their Samaritan's Purse is based out of...
That might be North Carolina.
I think that one is.
But yeah. Operation Blessing would be Virginia Beach. So that would not be eligible where if Samaritan's Purse is in North Carolina, that would be. The other thing that impresses me about this is volunteer fire departments and rescues are always looking for donations. This would be a wonderful thing for them.
Go ahead, Al.
Well, I express another concern. A lot of 501c3s or a lot of nonprofits pay high salaries to people. And, you know, a lot of them have gotten in trouble with that, like the veterans benefit programs and things like that. So how do we prevent that from happening?
That's a good question.
Accountability is an issue that we have, whether it's a government-funded program or a privately-funded program. To be fiscally responsible and frugal with your dollars, you should look into the charities
there you
and nonprofits
go. It would
before
be,
you give them the money.
Well, maybe they should be required to open their books to the public because there's no way to look into a lot of these things.
Well, the 990s are a matter of public record.
Right, it
what is.
The 990, the IRS Form 990, is basically a breakdown of assets, expenditures, revenues, salaries for your directors.
There's a website.
Well, let me ask our treasurer something.
Open
we
secrets.
Must file that ourselves, right?
I filed the 990.
Is there enough information in there to tell things about us?
Well,
to
because
someone
we're
who...
a small organization, we don't have enough to get into the details.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But there is a website that has, I forget the...
Open Secrets.
Open Secrets, right.
Is it Open Secrets?
OpenSecrets.org.
Okay.
Before we get too far off topic here, I want to make sure that we simplify as much as possible for our listeners because that was a lot of legalese that I was reading there, as most bills are. What we're talking about here is if you want to give a donation, I think the organization is trying to encourage citizens to support private organizations rather than depending on the government, and you do that by giving a tax-deductible donation to
it's
organizations,
incentive.
Right, of your choice to have it done by a private organization rather than having the government do it. Am I right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Now, but this is more than just tax-deductible. It reduces your taxes by the exact amount you contribute. So my concern is if we're charging the amount of taxes that we need to run the government, fine. If we're not, reduce the taxes. Don't spend it some other way. The sponsors of this bill are among my favorite legislators, but I'm really concerned about this. It's a very deep principle that seems to be being ignored. Either spend the tax money for things that are appropriate for tax money to be spent or return it to the people who earned it.
Okay, Jeff, what's the status of the bill as of today?
You record on Wednesdays and you broadcast on Sundays. So.
Right.
And here's a Sunday, it'll be this past Thursday was the crossover date for bills.
They're adjourned down and not coming back until a few more days.
Okay. So the bill actually hasn't been passed yet?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, that's why we're talking about it.
And it's not subject to the crossover deadlines because there was money involved.
I want to make sure everybody understands what Rainer just said because it really hadn't hit me till she said it. And that is, it's not just a tax deduction. it's a dollar for dollar reduction in your taxes. It's a big difference.
It's not both. You can't take a deduction for the same dollar that you take the credit for.
No, right. But you don't pay taxes in that amount so that you otherwise would have.
You get
have
a much better bang for your
buck.
And
so it really,
you need to get more money into the organization.
If you donate $100 and take the charitable deduction for it, mm-hmm. you'll probably get maybe 25 cents on the dollar of a reduction in your taxes.
Right. So Raina's point is we're reducing the money that's going to the government from each person.
On a dollar-for-dollar basis. And that just flies in the face of things that have been basic principles with us. You taxpayer money is to be spent for things that are appropriate for the government to do for all citizens.
And how about these people that are getting a tax refund that didn't pay any taxes?
But they would
get another one.
Maybe I'm confused because this dollar that you're donating is to pay for services for a private organization to do, a 501c3, versus the government doing it. So,
but the government shouldn't be doing it in the first place. What we need to be doing is backing out of that, and this is just institutionalizing it. It causes it to be done more and more with tax dollars. It is not a solution.
Okay. Mary?
I just want to mention, we mentioned before about accountability of charities. Mm-hmm. The Charity Navigator, charitynavigator.org.
Yeah, that's another one.
I couldn't come up with that. That is where you go to find out where the money goes.
Well, we've introduced the organization, and we've talked about the purpose, and we've talked about the bill, and the bill has not been passed yet, so there's still time to talk to the sponsors of the bill and voice your opinions, as Raynor, I'm sure, will do. And I'm sure.
Count on it.
And yes, Diane, real quick.
And Jeff, maybe you want to change it to We Do It Better. You might get more interest in your organization.
Anyway, Jeff, we only got about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to give you about three or four of those to wrap up and tell us whatever you want to.
Well, from our position, it's a win-win-win scenario. The government is already, like we talked about a while ago, the mindset of society is to look to government first. You don't take a heroin addict or someone who's alcoholism, for example, and flip a light switch and change the way that they approach life. And if people knew and believed in their hearts that community organizations and church groups and volunteer groups would do a better job of helping the people that they have already been spending their tax money to help, wouldn't it make sense to direct the money that's already being earmarked to help people to the organizations and volunteer groups and churches that actually do a better job of helping, that you get more bang for the buck? And over time, people will see that we, the people, do a better job of some of these things that we've been tasking the government to do, that they do a horrible job at ridiculous amounts of fraud, waste, and abuse.
Right.
If you could cut the fraud, waste, and abuse down 25% of the money that's going into the temporary assistance to needy families, well, you could either help 25% more people, or you could do a 25% better job of helping the people that you help. What they found in Arizona is it brought attention to the people that were wanting to either volunteer with either their time or their money. It drew a focus on the organizations that were doing a better job.
All right.
It encouraged the people that the Tucson taxpayers group put together a website that all the different volunteer and charity organizations in their area pulled together and have one website that people that want to volunteer or people that need help, they can all go to one site. And the people that want to take the credit. Arizona has had the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit for 20 years. And it was a bipartisan effort in 2016 to double the amounts that they were allowing because it was such a popular program. You talked about the federal, about the grant monies. They come with so many strings that force organizations to either do ridiculous things that are irrelevant to their community.
Anything that comes from the government has strings.
Strings and red
tape.
You
can count on that. Well, Jeff, we're running out of time here. We'll tell people if, and I got one more chance to get this right. WeDoBetter.org.
Yes, sir.
That's your website, WeDoBetter.org, and you can go there. They have a contact form where you can contact them with for more information. They also have About Us and some links to other videos and charts.
If I may, yes. If you go to WeDoBetter.org, on the resources tab at the top, if you click on Arizona Charitable Credit, there's about a 9.5-minute video there. That includes the Republican and Democrat legislators, senators that had co-sponsored doubling the amount that they were allowing in Arizona. It has leadership from various organizations and actually some people that were helped by these organizations. They explained in their own words in great detail how they're able to do better with this credit.
Okay. WeDoBetter.org. Go there to get the answers to all your questions about the effort. Thank you again, Jeff, for coming in and speaking with us. Real quick, I want to remind everybody, May 21st is a Tuesday night. It's our regular monthly meeting, free and open to the public, 7 o'clock, downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. And this is the Back the Blue event. It's an event to honor outstanding law enforcement officers from New Bern and Beaufort and Carter, Craven and Pamlico counties. And you can hear their stories and achievements, and we will present them with some awards there. Hal, real quick.
All right. We also hope to present our Hillsdale College Scholarship of $1,500 to some recipient from North Carolina.
Right. That'll be Tuesday night, May 21st. Please come out and join us. That's all the time we have for CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you'll come back next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.